and years. And a lot of God's people tonight are just defeated and just saying, okay, I'm tired of fighting. I'll just give up. Good night, devil. If you'll leave me alone, I'll cooperate. And that shouldn't be our opinion. I read a little story this evening. I forgot how it went exactly. You might have to help me with some of the terminology. But this little bitty short fellow was sitting in a bar one night, and he's drinking, and he was sitting there, and this big guy just comes up and goes, "Why?" and knocks him off in the floor. And the little guy gets up and says, "Like, what in the world did you do that for?" And he said, "That's a judo chop from Japan or wherever. I guess that's where judo comes from. I don't know." And he got back up on the stool. In a few minutes, that guy goes, "What?" and knocks him off there. And he said, "What'd you do that for?" And that guy said, "That's a karate chop from wherever karate's from. Get from Japan too." Well, anyway, it went like that. And that little guy went out the door, and he stayed gone about an hour, and he come back in, and wham! Hit that big guy, and he laid down on the floor, knocked out cold. And little guy told the bartender, he said, "When he comes to, tell him that's a crowbar from Sears." And what it was, he just took all he's going to take, bless God. Amen. And listen, you know what? We need to get to that place where we just say, "This is all this I'm going to take. I'm tired of getting beat up by the devil. I'm tired of letting the world run over me. I'm tired of being a defeated Christian. I'm tired of just never having no shout, never having no joy, never having no..." God did not mean for us... I mean, we're not perfect. We don't stay on the mountaintop all the time, but God did not mean or intend for His children to go around defeated all the time. We got something inside us. First John said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And it bothers me that some people, every time you see them, "Well, Brother Danny, I'm backslid. You know, I'm just backslid. You should not stay backslid forever. You come up here Friday night and stay all night, and you'll get the victory. If you ain't got it, we'll pray with you till you get it. There is no excuse, there is no reason for a Christian staying defeated. Listen, there are some people got the victory around here this weekend. Don't listen to them voices that tell you to get up and walk out as demons. Don't listen to them. Anytime we had problem, we had some young people, when some of the good stuff was going on here during the camp meeting, I saw them out in the hallway talking. You know what that is? That's demons making kids do that. And they don't even realize it. You've got to realize that the devil will do everything he can to stop you from being what God wants you to be. Now here in John chapter 5, I want to give just a little thought. I feel like the Lord laid on my heart since we're coming up on this last Sunday in our fall program. And this scripture has been mentioned a lot around here lately. And I think it fits where we're at. And it said here in John chapter 5 verse 1, "After this there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now hold on there just a second. What that mean? Like one old preacher got up and he said, "Boy, there was a bunch of impotent folk around this thing, and all these impotent people laid around here." That's not what that... It's impotent, not impotent. Impotent means they're not able to do on their own, do for themselves. They're without strength. They were crippled. They were, it said there, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, this is a weird story. A lot of the Bible translators don't even believe this is supposed to be in the Bible. And it's got a note in the modern version saying they don't think this is even supposed to be in it. But we do, and we believe every word of it. And it said, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Somebody said, "That is a 38-year-old man. Well, it didn't say he's 38 years old there. It said he had that infirmity 38 years old. Or had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, 38 years, in that case, he saith unto him, 'Wilt thou be made whole?' The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Alright, now I'm going to just use this a little thought tonight. And the thought I got on my heart is, get them while they're hot. And I remember, I'll give you two or three little illustrations and then say a couple of things about this scripture. When we was little, Mom used to fix biscuits. And when she'd pull them biscuits out of the oven, she'd set them down. We'd still be out in the yard playing. And she'd go in and she'd say, Danny, y'all better get in here. And I want you to get in here, eat it while it's hot. And why do parents always want you to come in and eat that bread while it's hot? Of course, it's better. Now, some of you ladies make these rolls, these yeast rolls especially. I know Linda makes them and Pam makes them. And I don't know who all them young ladies make them. Well, you have to mess with them, lay them out the night before, and they grow by themselves, and you got to put them in the right oven at the right time, and those yeast, I don't really understand all that, but I know some people that can sure make them things. And I'll tell you the truth, man, when they get them things right out of the oven, and you take butter, and open them up, real butter, not margarine. I heard a nutritionist say, that real butter is better for you than margarine. Hallelujah. Amen. I knew it all along. Now, butter is very fattening, but butter is better for you than margarine. That's what she said. She's an expert in this stuff. She said butter, and I said, glory to God. Then anything the Bible talks about eating is good for you. Butter of kind, cow butter, milk, eggs, all that stuff. People say, oh, that stuff's bad for you. No, it ain't. Not if the Bible says it's all right. It's all right. Salt's all right. Too much of it's bad for you, but a little bit, what we need to do is sweat a little bit and get it out of us. But butter, she said the only thing is about one tablespoon of butter takes like, I think she said 2 or 3 hours of aerobics to work off. That's the bad part. One tablespoon of butter takes 2 hours to work off doing aerobics. Somebody said, well, I went and exercised 15 minutes, worked off that big supper I ate. Now, you didn't touch it. You didn't get a tenth of that big supper. You run a mile, it don't... I was somewhere in a motel and they had an exercise room and you get a free pass to it or something like that. So I went down there one day and I got on this thing and I was running a mile and I was running like this and I run, you know, you can speed up or make it harder. It feels like you run uphill. And I was running like this and it flipped over a mile and I hadn't burned up but something like 300 calories or something like that. I thought it'd be a lot more than that. But it takes a whole lot more exercise than you think. So, it don't hurt me to eat all these big meals because I go out and mow grass. That don't take care of a tenth of it. You really, really have to do some exercise. But anyway, what I was going to tell you about butter, when you put that in them yeast rolls right out of the oven, honest to my soul, brother, when them things are fixed right and they are piping hot and fluffy, you put that butter in there, I love steak, don't you? I love steak. All men, I reckon, love steak. One guy said, oh, I don't like steak. I don't know about you, man. If you're a man, don't like steak. I guess about all men like steak, and I like it. But you can't, when all's said and done, you can't beat a tender piece of beef, man, something good like that. But honest, if you put a piece of steak down right here in one of them hot rolls, I'd just about take a bite of that hot roll, that butter in it, almost over steak. And I know I would over most everything else. That's some good eating. I could make a meal off just them hot rolls and butter, couldn't you? Man, oh man, oh man, I'd like to have one right now. And a Pepsi. Amen. Oh my soul. A glass of milk, anything. But listen, you know what they always said? They said, you better get them while they're hot. Get them while they're hot. Why? Because when they get cold, they're just not that good. They're just not that good. Now, cornbread, it's good after it's cold. But biscuits are just, you know, not as good. And rolls after they're cold. Somebody else said this. Somebody can help me with this. Strike while the iron is hot. Anybody know what that old saying means? Strike while the iron is hot. Where'd that come from? Brother Danny? Okay, explain that to us.
Iron is that right.
mold it. Right. And what he's saying there is you heat that iron up, and the hotter and hotter and hotter it gets, right then when to hit it, while it's hot. Hit it. Strike while the iron is hot. That's when you want to mold it and make and into whatever you're going to make. While that stuff's hot, you let it get cold, you ain't going to do much molding. You let it get cold, you're not going to do much mending. And you know what I'm getting at, don't you? You know what I'm getting at, amen? Here's another old saying before I get to the scripture. Here's another old saying. We used to say this. People would say, get in the house, mama's coming. Get in the house, you got 5 minutes, you got 3 minutes, you got 2 minutes. And then finally somebody come to the door of the switch and they say, buddy, you better get in while the getting's good. Have you ever heard that old saying? Everybody heard that old saying? You better get in while the getting's good. Now what does that mean? That means while this door's still open, while you got breath, while you're able, you better get in now, because if you don't, I'm going to come out there and beat you half to death. Amen. Mama said, you better get in while the getting's good, boy, or I'm going to tear your hide off. Or we're going to, make you see stars. You know, like that one fellow, he said, my daddy was mighty patriotic. Patriotic, buddy. He said, we believe in the stars and stripes. He laid on the stripes and I seen stars. And that's what people used to do. That's what's wrong with kids nowadays. They ain't never seen no stars. And you're afraid if you spank them, they'll run away or commit suicide. You ought to tell them, go ahead and kill yourself. I don't care. Pow! They're not going to kill herself. They're just using that to scare you. They love herself too much to kill herself. But listen. I want to tell you something. Get in while the getting's good. Strike while the iron is hot. Get them while they're hot. What does all that mean? That's an illustration of this scripture here. Here in John chapter 5, there was in Bethesda a big pool. And somehow or another, God had caused an angel to come down every now and then and mess up the water. And when the water started moving, all these sick people waited and waited and waited, and they didn't know when it was going to happen. And when the angel troubled the water, some of the kin folks or something would pick them up and put their foot in that water, and they'd get healed of whatever disease they had. Well, this story said a man had been sick for 38 years. 38 years. That means that right now he would have got sick in 1960. Been sick since 1960. Here he is, 1998. And the water was moving, and the Lord come by and healed him. And healed him. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Spiritually, you can apply all these thoughts. Get in while the getting's good. Strike while the iron is hot. Eat them butter biscuits while they're piping hot right out of the oven. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we have seen a troubling of the water here at our church. We have seen God stir us. Are y'all too cool? Brother Eddie White preached that message on stirred up the other night. And that's exactly what God's done. Through the ladies out there praying, through you folks staying at home individually praying, and through these young men, young preachers up here crying out to God all night long, the Lord has sent His angel down and troubled our waters. Now I want to say this is the best time to get your loved ones in. You could about brought anybody in here Saturday night and they'd have got saved. I mean, the Lord is just, there's I don't know how many people got saved before the service started. No invitation, no choir singing, no plea for souls, no preaching, nothing. I mean, it was just God all over the place. Buddy, you better get in while the getting's good. And while we've got this thing all stirred up, while we've got the food laid out, it's easy to preach when things are going like here. I mean, any preacher could have got up here and preached Saturday night. Sunday morning. I mean, it's like the ball rolling. All you got to do is get up and kick it, man. We had a good chapel service this morning. God was in here strong. A good service with the little kids. God's been moving. We've got the ball rolling. God's troubled the waters. Now let's bring our loved ones in. Let's get them here Sunday morning. Let's bring that one. It's been messed up since 1960. Been out in sin for 38 years. And bring them down here and let the Lord Jesus Christ touch their life and change them. I believe He can do it, don't you? Amen. Amen. I believe He's here. Some lady said not long ago, she said, I'm just not getting a blessing at church. Well, it's been a pretty good while back. She said, I'm starving to death at our church. All I can say to a person that's starving to death in this church is, you have a problem. You've got a major problem. You think you're starving in our church? Go visit some. I've been to not all. Thank God there's some good churches. But most churches, you don't know what starving is. One lady told Kathy, not long ago, I guess I can quote you on this, can't I? One lady told Kathy about, sometime last year or something. She said, well, I'm just not getting anything out of our church. I'm starving to death. And Kathy said, well, there's all kind of revivals and camp meetings around here. You been going to them? Of course not. Of course not. Hey, you know what people do when a person says, well, I'm just starving to death at our church. You know, listen, there's tapes you can listen to. There's other revivals. There's camp meetings everywhere. There ain't no reason for you to be starving. You know what you're doing? You're just blaming your backslid condition on the church. You can't blame the church if you're backslid. I can't blame the church if I'm backslid. I can't blame my sins on you, and you can't blame your sins on your brother, or on me, or on the choir, or nobody else, brother. Listen, there's plenty of food around here. Just slide up under the table and dig in and get you some of it. You say, well, something happened I didn't like. Something happened I didn't like. About 3/4 of y'all do something I don't like every week. But you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and enjoy God and get a blessing, and I'm not gonna let your backsliding keep me from getting a blessing. And you shouldn't let your neighbor or your preacher or your Sunday school teacher or your choir. Somebody told me one time, well, I just can't get a blessing out of choir because so and so's singing in it. Don't look at her. I'm gonna let one person. Hey man, here's the way I am. If I find a hire in my food, I can just take that part and push it off the plate and enjoy the rest of it. Ain't nothing wrong with the rest of it. It's too cold in here, I believe. Feels cold to me. I got this big cup. Okay. Whatever y'all think. I feel fine, but I thought it might be cool on y'all. 38 years. Now, there's two or three things I'm going to say. First, Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. Jesus sees your relatives. He sees your daddy. He sees my relatives. He sees my cousins that are lost. The Lord can see them right where they are. I'm glad of that. Sometimes we think we pray and we pray and we pray and it don't do no good. Some of y'all have been praying for a loved one for years and they've never come one time. Some of them may come a while and then they quit. Some of them maybe even made a profession and then they quit. Let me tell you something. Jesus sees them. The Lord sees them. And just because they don't act like it don't mean He ain't dealing with them neither. They may put on this big tough front that ain't bothering me. You don't know what kind of nightmare they might have had last night. God might have dangled them over hell last night while they was asleep, and they might be in fear, torment. They just don't want you to know it. They don't want you to know it's getting to them. The Lord sees your relatives. He sees your kids. He sees my cousins that are lost. I've got relatives in this county that are lost without God, far as I know. One or two that's never been saved. I've tried to witness to one or two of them. One of them I've been to his house several times. Never even really got to sit down and talk to him. He avoids me, I guess. He don't want to hear what I've got to say. But I'm glad the Lord sees them and can go right where they are. And I'll tell you something else. Jesus knew his condition. The Bible said he knew that he had been 38 years in that case. And he healed him without the water. He healed him without the water. More people, listen, more people get in by accident at a good soul-winning, fired-up church than do it on purpose in a dead, dry, liberal church where the gospel ain't preached and nobody ever gets saved. Now, you know why we've always had so many battles here at our church? Because we try to get people saved. If we just sat down and said, we don't care if anybody else comes or not, and we're just going to have a formal service and never stir up no trouble, never preach against sin, and just all of us, hallelujah, 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 and worship on Sunday, we'd get along pretty good in this world. The reason the devil has attacked this place so much is because it's always been a soul-winning station. And it ain't never going to be no different. If this don't work, he'll try something else. If that don't work, he'll try something else. If that don't work, he'll try something else. What we've got to do is keep our eyes on lost souls and not let the devil defeat us and detract us. I believe this. I believe if a church will stare at your souls, God will take care of all the problems in that church. God will pay all the bills in that church. I don't believe we'll have a financial problem. It's a proven fact. If we stay after sinners, God will take care of us. You know, we had 1,000 people here last Sunday, 1,100 people, almost 1,200 people here last Sunday. And 1,000 something the Sunday before last. And I told a man today, we was talking about our offering was a little low this past Sunday. I guess that's because of the camp meeting. It should be a little more than that. And then I get thinking, I thought, we're doing pretty good. If we have 1,000 people here on Sunday, 500 of them don't have a job. You ever thought about that? And of the 500 that's left, 200 of them will be visitors. And at least 300 of us to pay the bills around here. 300 solid, hard-working people who love the Lord and tithe and honor God. I believe if we'll keep them buses rolling, that we'll stay after sinners, that we'll say, God, whatever you want us to do, we're going to get these little kids in here and get them saved and preach to their families and help the poor and send out missionaries, that God will pay the bills and supply our needs and fight our battles for us. Somebody said, well, Brother Danny, ain't you going to do nothing about this? No. Brother Danny, ain't you going to do nothing about that? No. Brother Danny, ain't you going to write a bunch of letters and send them out? No. Sure ain't. I'm going to stay here and preach and do what God called me to do and let the Lord fight my battles. He said, the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. And Jesus saw that man. He knew he'd been there 38 years, and he'd done the work for him. Now, I'm going to give us three things here to remember before we go. Our friends. The water's moving, folks. It's a good time to bring your lost friends. Your friends. Some of you have friends that are not saved. I don't have any friends that are not saved. Most of all my friends are Christians, but I know some people that are not saved. Maybe from years ago. Preacher don't have a whole lot of close friends that ain't saved. People don't want nothing to do with you. But I know some people are not saved. Some of you have friends that are not saved. I want you to write their name down. Pray for them. And while the water's moving, try to get them in. What about our family? It's not too late to get Daddy in. Well, I have that old 80-year-old preacher here Sunday morning. It'd be a good time to get Daddy or Grandpa. Wouldn't that be a good time to get Daddy or Grandpa to come? 80-year-old preacher? You know, somebody said, I ain't listening to nobody younger than me. They don't know nothing. Well, some we got an old preacher going to be here. Old preacher. That can tell them how life was before they was born, some of them. 80 years old, that means he was born in 1918. He's seen a lot come and go. What about your brother? Sister. What about your cousins? Remember 6 weeks ago, we wrote down a whole big list of people. Have you still got your list? Right here's mine. Y'all still got your list? You said, Brother Danny, I tried it the first couple of Sundays and it just didn't work. Yeah, but you know, that water's troubled a little bit more now. Try it again. Try it again. Here I've got some people that used to come to church right down here. And then there's somebody that come once during this week, during this campaign. There's another couple that came once. There's a lady who hadn't been at all. There's one that come once. There's more on here, I think, that hadn't been at all during this. How about it, Brother Danny? Last day, November 1st, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be up here tomorrow morning to visit at 10. I'm going to be up here tomorrow night at 7 to visit. And then I'm going to take my wife out on a date Friday evening, come back here and pray Friday night. Then we're going to spend Saturday praying and studying for preaching Sunday night. And then Saturday evening come up here and go out and give out tracts and make some phone calls and try to get some of these folks to come. And then I'm going to come praying Sunday and pray that God will get a hold of them. And then Sunday night come back and preach. If it's the Lord's will, that's the way my weekend's going to go. I'm going to try to get some people in here. I'm going to try to get them to come to Sunday school. How about your friend? How about boys? Listen, it's baseball's over. Football's in full swing. Basketball's getting ready to start. What about some of your basketball buddies? What about some of your friends that still go to public school? Say, hey, spend the night with me Saturday night. Come to my church. We're going to do something. Then come to church with me Sunday morning. I'll buy you some pizza. Lester's going to fix us pepperoni pizza and cheese pizza and chocolate pizza after we get through with all that. Amen, brother. I put that chocolate pizza right up there with that other stuff I was talking about a while ago. I mean, that's some of the best stuff you have put in your mouth. When it first comes out of the oven, it's hot, it's got full of butter and melted chocolate chips and that pizza bread. Hey, my soul. And I picked a bad night to be talking about all this stuff. But anyway, you think about that. You think about that. Tell them, hey, I'll feed you pizza and it won't cost you nothing. Amen? We'll round up $6 and pay for yours if you'll come and bring them to church with you Sunday morning. What I'm saying is, let's get them in while the water's moving. Let's try to get them in while the water's moving. Let's don't slack up and say, well, glory to God, we had the best camp meeting we ever had. Woo! Now let's go Christmas shopping and forget it. No, now's when we need to bear down and pray so the devil won't take and steal the victory that we got in our soul. All right? Okay, let's stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer.